Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
It's football at 4, but when something big happens, I got to shift gears and I got to show a little love to the Astros in this particular segment. And last night was big, boys. Night of the Century, Houston Sports Awards. We were there live and in color. Show and Tyler and myself and heck, the whole Odyssey Houston crew was there. Before everybody showed up and the festivities began, the World Series champ, the Astros third baseman, Alex Bregman, who was the host of the event last night, did a hell of a job, by the way. He joined us. He joined us right here on the drive, and I thought it was very fitting to ask him a question that had come up a couple of days ago. Where Sho and I, we were talking about Yuli Gurriel, and we were talking about, you know, him being a utility infielder, and Sho's totally against it. First of all, he's 39 years old, and then he can't play certain positions. And I just made the suggestion. I said, well, look, he can play third base. Bregman can move over to short if we need to give Pena a little rest. He can play second base if Altuve needs it. He can play first base if what's my man's name? First baseman?
Oh, Jose Abreu.
If Abreu needs it. And so, of course, Sho turned his nose up at that, dismissed me.
They're not putting him in
I mean, he just dismissed me and just completely poo-pooed on the idea. So I thought, you know what? And I had this in the back of my mind. If we saw Bregman, I was at least going to ask him. And so I did. Yesterday, Alex Bregman was on the show with us, stopped by. I think he outperformed Hannah Storm. I think he stayed longer than Hannah stayed. What do you think?
Stayed longer. Well, don't shake him off, Tyler.
Hannah stood up the whole time and was a little bit more energetic. But do you think he stayed longer than Hannah?
He stayed longer.
And he may have stayed longer, but Hannah.
I mean, see.
What?
I'm just talking about how long that they were on the show. I'm not talking about what
she looked
like. I was
talking about how long Hannah's legs look.
Oh, okay. Long legs got you this
time. There's a 10 up in there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, I thought he outdid Hannah. Here's the deal. Nonetheless, I thought it would be very fitting to just hear it from the horse's mouth. Let's ask Alex Bregman if he could play shortstop. Here he is answering the question.
You still got shortstop in you.
Hey, let's just be honest.
Oh, after watching Pena play short and watching Correa play short, I don't think I have shortstop.
Don't say that.
My God.
Hey, all right. Hey, God.
Could I?
There you go.
Could I play it? Could I play shortstop at those two dudes' level? No. But could I play shortstop at an above-average major league level? Hell yeah.
Very fitting.
Hell yeah.
Exactly what we – I mean, look
oh, – that,
I mean,
oh, that's the part you're taking from it.
The way –
Did you see his face? Yeah, I wish you could have seen – I wish there was a camera on
him. I didn't see his face.
No, he did. No, he laughed at it. He immediately was like, hell no. But here's the deal. The way in which he answered the question is very, very fitting to the conversation we were having. Can he play it to Pena or Correa's level? Absolutely not. We weren't asking if he's a starter, but can – then he turned around, poked his chest out, being the peacock that I know Alex Bregman is, and said, can I play at an above-average level, MLB level? Absolutely. So there you have it.
Yeah, I tend to go with the first thing people said. And the
– Well, he owed his teammates the respect to not act as if he's Carlos Correa.
My days are over.
Yeah, that was about his teammates and being a trying to downplay how great
they are.
The real
was at the end, though. The real was at the end.
I'm serious. You can't be acting like you do your bro's job better than they do. You gotta if you're good friends with them like that, even if you think so, you don't say it.
When you heard that, Tyler, what'd you think? Could he play shortstop in a pinch if Pena needed a little rest or something?
Well, I thought hell yeah, apparently so.
I appreciate you.
Let me try that. So when you heard that,
yeah,
do you think he'll ever play shortstop?
No, but he could. Hell yeah.
Well, why would he with Dubon and Hensley as your utility guys? Would they do that?
That's what you said to get Yuli on the field. Hey, let's slide him over in a pinch.
Here's the deal. The question was if you needed to play shortstop in a utility role to give guy rest, could you do it? He said absolutely. Absolutely, I could. I could play it at above average level. Maybe. 713-572-4610. You heard the damn audio. Text in and let us know what you thought about that. Right? Do you think Alex Bregman could play shortstop in a pinch? I'm not asking him to be an all-star. I'm not asking him to play Pena or Correa style. You heard it. What would you take from it?
Playing shortstop. Hadn't thought about it.
Well, no, nobody has. They've had 14 infielders on the damn roster. Show?
I don't think you're asking the right question personally.
What was the question?
To me, the whole thing is you're saying, "Hey, I said there's only one place for you, two places really for Yuli to play: first base as a backup and DH. Because they're gonna put him in other places.
He's played other places.
I know he has. Yes, he went 39." And then have other options. No, put your head down.
Well,
yes.
you guys with these age deals.
I know it's crazy, but
it's nuts.
Nuts. Yes, the range. Yes,
that 39-year-old led the team in hitting in the playoffs last year.
Of course you're not.
But you're not talking about his regular season either, are you?
Why would I talk about that?
Why would you?
Yeah, the same 39 his age. Same 39-year-old. Was a batting champ a year ago, had a bad season, and led the team in batting. His age is clearly not a problem.
For the role of utility infielder, it is. He's a 39-year-old that's not playing second base or third base, especially not to move Alex Bregman over in the hole to play so he can play third base.
He could be a utility infielder to get to the playoffs and have his stick in the lineup.
Yeah, his utility will form behind first base when Abreu needs a night
off. You legitimately would go Hensley or Dubon over keeping that bat on the roster and in Houston
for them to play second base.
You wouldn't do whatever it takes. You would say to hell with Yuli's bat because maybe he can't play second base five times this year or third base and move if you needed to, which you really don't need to. But if you needed to, you would really say, "Nah, we'd rather not have that bat, but have Hensley and Dubon."
If I were the Houston Astros and I'm looking to fill the role of a utility infielder,
it's not that simple. Yuli's involved. It's not that simple.
Yes, if I'm looking to fill a role on the bench, a person off the bench, I would try to improve over the 39-year-old.
That's so misleading. That's not misleading. Yeah, it's very misleading.
You're asking me the question.
But the question is Yuli Gurriel. You can't take him away from the situation and talk about
him. And I'm describing him as a 39-year-old guy who can only play first base, who hit horribly all season long and had a magical
season. Here's a yes or no question. Yeah. Here's a yes or no question. Would you be willing to part ways with Yuli and not have him on the team at all in order to keep Dubon and Hensley?
It's not just a yes or no question. It's not about just Dubon or Hensley. Can I improve the position? Who's another one? If I were the Astros, I am looking to improve my utility infielder.
Name it. Okay, two utility infielders or Yuli Gurriel's bat in the lineup down the stretch.
I believe that the Astros can, not just down the stretch, 162 of them, I believe the Astros can improve and have a better person off the bench as a utility infielder than 39-year-old Yuli Gurriel, who is only able to play one position. Yes, I do.
So why didn't you say yes?
It's not crazy. It's a
yes or no question, right? Would you rather have would you rather have one or two utility players that aren't going to touch the field in the playoffs?
I would rather upgrade over him. Yes. And that's not to say they're not going to touch the
Dubon disappeared.
The field in the playoffs.
Dubon disappeared.
Didn't. Diaz didn't. I'm talking about replacing Diaz. I'm talking about replacing Diaz.
I'm talking about keeping Yuli or not.
And what is the role that Yuli going to play?
He would be a utility infielder.
Yes, and I think you, which is the role that Diaz had. And I think you can upgrade over the 39. Listen, my heart ain't on Yuli.
Right? Well, we know that.
I can look at it.
Your heart is on him being 39 years old and the one season where he struggled versus all the good he did.
At 39 years old, well, we're brushing 162 of his games away in his magical month.
No, you're brushing away the 162 he had last year that was better than anybody in the league
sure.
And the playoffs.
And he's aging. Isn't that a normal guy pushing 40 that you would think he would be closer to what he just did?
Say it again?
A guy who's pushing 40 over his last season, 162 games, a guy who is aging, you would think he would play closer to what he just did. I don't think he's going to turn the clock back and start being
He just led the team in hitting in the playoffs.
He got hot for a month. He got hot for a month. I mean, just calling
I wouldn't
it a
say
spade
he got hot. Listen, he wasn't real hot, but he led the
team.
No,
he got hot. He was the best hitter. He was the best hitter. Yes, he was getting hits all game. He hit well over 300 in the postseason. He got hot for a month. But I'm not going to say act like I'm ignore what he did for six. And to know that he's turning 40, he's close to 40. Allegedly, hell, he might be older than that.
It's unbelievable.
And you got to put
him in. If a guy's knocking on 40, or if he's had a surgery in the last 3 years, don't play him.
Also, with the caveat of being one of the worst hitters in the league. Also, adding that, like a Tom Brady, he could still go. But if Tom Brady was out there throwing like Ryan Tannehill, I'd tell Tom Brady's ass to retire.
Have you seen him here today?
I don't care how many of y'all crush me because you have certain feelings about Yuli or me. But you know, you deep down know, if I'm trying to fill the utility role, I'm not picking the guy who's 39 years old who just had one of the worst seasons hitting in all of baseball because he had a hell of a month.
The silliness,
he had 30 great days.
The silliness is you like there's two or three utility players on utility infielders, two of them at least, that can play the infield. And it's just like, hell no, give me a utility player that'll help me get through 162 and dismissing the bat.
And improved. I'm not dismissing it. Like, you're on the magical month. I'm looking at a guy who is 39 years old who was one of the worst everyday players in the game.
Players in the game.
He was one of the worst hitters.
Well, I'm going to have to do a little digging on that.
Go dig.
I'm going to do a little digging on that.
He was the first. He was the first baseman in the league? He was a first baseman that didn't hit a home run for 3 months.
What's that got to do with anything?
It's a power position.
I mean, we know he struggled.
And he didn't get hits. He was terrible.
So you just get rid of it. You just dismiss everything that the guy's done before after if he had a bad season.
Sometimes, Jeff, like this, you want to know what this is really like and you don't want to admit it?
Well, it's not that I don't want to admit it. It's just common sense for me.
This is like us saying, hey, man, I know Zach Greinke had a bad run of it at the end of there.
I disagree.
And he's aging. But let's run him back because the year before Zach Greinke was a good. No, it
disagree.
Is.
Disagree.
Zach Greinke is aging, and he stunk it up his last
Greinke
year.
Greinke clearly lost all of his stuff. That's like Drew Brees. At some point, Drew Brees completely lost the ability to play the game. But for 3 years, people were talking about, oh, he's too old. He can't do it. Forever, everybody's been trying to say, well, Aaron Rodgers is knocking on 40. He can't do it. MVP. Tom Brady can't do it. He goes and wins the Super Bowl. And I know those are the greatest of all time, but those are not examples. Those are examples of people saying, oh, you can't do it because you're too old. No, they went out there and didn't just continue to play well. They went out there and were the best in the league at it.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, we're going to lean on 39.
He sucked last year. Clint,
we know that. We understand
that. So what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the good he did.
He had a magical month. He sucked.
Did he have a magical year before?
He was good the year before. He is 39.
So when he was 38, he was the best hitter in Major League Baseball in the American League. At 39, he had a rough year, and you're going to say he can't play.
He's 39, and he is not going to be an everyday player.
We're not talking about him being an everyday player.
And I'm telling you, he's going to be a utility player. And you need a utility player to be a player around the diamond and going to come up. And he's not going to have a chance to flirt around and be the batting champ. He's going to get, you know, 4 at-bats in a month or 5 at-bats in a month. No, I don't. I'm not betting on the fact that the 39-year-old guy coming off of one of the worst seasons from an everyday player in the league to bring him back as a utility infielder.
Why not?
Because I think you can improve upon that.
With who?
With anybody.
You can improve upon white boy Chaz.
I don't have the list of utility infielders on me in Major League Baseball right now.
Astros
but I'll tell you what, right now, yes, right now, I'd be willing to see the growth of David Hensley right now to see what he will be and see what he would look like as the utility. I would rather do that than bring back the 39-year-old guy.
Could do both.
But like this, I don't want to just have a first baseman and a backup designated hitter on my team. That's this filling
the role.
Is Bill
Spires available?
Bill Spires.
Hey, you done got me.
One bad season. Yes. Show's crazy.
One surgery. One bad season.
Guy at 39 to go play around the diamond. Get out of here. And that's why the Astros ain't bringing him back.
You don't think so?
No, they ain't bringing him back because they feel like, well, we're gonna prove over the 39-year-old guy. Like, listen, Yuli is great in terms of team chemistry, and I'm not gonna take away his postseason. But none of y'all.
What are you gonna do if they bring him back?
None of y'all. We're talking about bring Yuli back when the season ended. None of you all certainly would say bring him back as a utility infielder where he can fill in sometimes for Altuve at second or Bregman at third. Nobody.
I don't remember having that as a topic.
Nobody.
The times that we've scheduled the conversation, hell yes we have. I'm not breaking, Tyler. I'm not through talking about Yuli.
Now, here we go.
You just caused me to eat up my whole damn football segment with Yuli arguments.
I will say it was thoroughly entertaining.
You sitting in there smiling like an outhouse rat,
that's
man.
That's right. That's what organizations do. Keep a guy who's 39 years old coming off the worst season and one of the worst seasons of any everyday player and rip him and turn him into the utility infielder. That's what championship teams do.
Championship teams with the luxury of keeping a good bat in the lineup because you know it's all about the playoffs may do that. We'll see. We'll see how it happens. When they sign Yuli and make him a utility player or a bat off the bench, we'll circle back to this.
Know who sent this in that Yuli ranked 14th in batting average 2022. That's not true.
Probably talking about first baseman.
I'm gonna tell you that right now.
I
wonder about that one. At 14th, first baseman. That ain't great. How many homers? Where are you ranking the homers? I know y'all can hate me all you want to. But what I'm saying ain't crazy. Hannah McNair and Cal McNair did a great job yesterday on the purple carpet. If you hear what they had to say, seriously, if you're a Texan fan and you've had concern about your owner, you'll love it. I think you will love what they had to say. That's coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Dan Quinn off the books. Dan Quinn, a guy you have wanted the Texans to include in this interview cycle. Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys, former head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Took him to a Super Bowl, had that terrible loss that happened right here in Houston, 28-3. He is off the board. He's informed all of the other teams that he's interviewed with that he is going to remain in Dallas.
The hell's going on?
And there, no movement with Mike either yet, right? Look like Mike's going to come back. Jerry said it had no.
Yeah, I think the latest is Mike's still employed. Dan Quinn's coming back, and Mike's talking to Kellen Moore about, you know, didn't say he was going to be here. They were going to part ways, and he's talking to him either this afternoon or tomorrow. I can't remember what it was. I did, like, what in the hell? Like, what would Dan Quinn? Like, he's had a pretty good 2-year run of, like, obviously his forte defense being really, really good in Dallas. Like, I mean, you're risking that not happening again, and then all of a sudden you're not as hot a head coach candidate as you are this year. I mean, hell, we saw it, it was the Texans, but you saw it, the offensive coordinator out of the L.A. Chargers. I mean, he got a head coach interview last year. He just got fired.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just – they've got to make some big time changes. Kellen Moore is the one to me that has to go. I know he's a head coach candidate. I know he's a hot offensive coordinator. But when you look at what's going on in Dallas right now, man, I think the big move that has to be made, because you can't part ways with Dak Prescott, and you'd rather not have to eat a boatload of the Ezekiel Elliott money. And I think Zeke's best days are behind him, obviously. But I think he's a serviceable back. And look, they're paying him a boatload of money, and he's not going to be your bell cow, so to speak, but you can get more out of him than what Kellen Moore is getting out of him, in my opinion. Yeah. But what they got to do, they got to find a guy that can get more out of Dak Prescott. We're sitting here watching what's going on with Lamar Jackson.
It'd be interesting to see if they're going to just roll.
They can't, show. Right?
They just roll. Yeah, they can.
It's a Dallas thing to do. You're
because,
right.
Well, but like, what would they be thinking what would they think? Oh, boy, it's just a year of growth. Or what do they think? Maybe if Tony Pollard didn't get hurt, that would have been it. And we just bring him back in. I mean, they've got to believe something has to change. I mean, they just lost to Brock Purdy.
In a game that if your offense just shows up at all at any point in time, I mean,
they don't turn it
one
over.
One or two plays and you win that ball game. Yeah, I believe that, and I don't know what Will McClay, Stephen Jones, and Jerry Jones. I don't know what the hell they're going to do, but it seems to me like the common sense of it is like you've got to get a Shane Steichen, and I know Shane's not leaving, but a Shane Steichen like guy out of Brian Johnson to me would be a great one. Brian Johnson would be bring him out of the Philadelphia Eagles organization and say, I need you to do with Dak what y'all did with Jalen Hurts in Philly. And if that don't work, then you threw good money at bad with Dak. He just ain't who you thought he was. He's a great leader, but the skill set just ain't what it is. I think you gotta go, you gotta give it a run with Dak in terms of using him in a more mobile way. And create a run game that isn't scared of top run defenses.
Yeah, but getting Dan Quinn back, that's a positive.
Oh, it's huge.
Yeah, that's a positive.
Hell yeah,
getting
huge.
Him to come back, because I didn't think – I mean, you thought he may be a head coach next year, but getting him back. But the other side, though, because his defense played well enough, and they've improved, what he's done with Micah Parsons is big, and you think they'll just keep getting better. That makes sense. But you're right. The other side, I am surprised there wasn't a move made at head coach.
Well, you got to believe head coach. Hell yeah, but
head coach, something.
I can't believe McCarthy's still a coach. But you got to believe Jerry. And then we're sitting there going, you hope Kellen Moore gets a job so you don't have to fire him ultimately, right? Well, I mean Carolina's not gonna
get a job.
Well, Carolina was interviewed. Carolina, I think, was the one that was hot on him. Well, they just hired Frank Wright.
Yeah.
So they're just in a spot where
they've got to do something different.
Yeah, I'd keep an ear to the ground in Dallas. One of those guys has to move on.
And it doesn't feel like players. It feels like they have enough players. It seems like it's something from above. All right, as we talked about the coaching search, Dan Quinn, that's one you wanted. The Texans didn't interview him, but he's not an option for anybody anyway. But last night at the Houston Sports Awards, they did a little red/purple carpet, and Landry caught up with Landry Locker caught up with the McNairs and was asking them how the coaching search was going. And I'm telling you, I think if you listen to what they're saying and how they're going about it, I think if I'm a Texans fan, I take a lot of positivity out of how they're going about things.
Well, I wouldn't really call it a some people call it a second round or whatever. We're viewing it as more as a continuation of the first interview to sit down and get to know the folks better. So I would say that way.
And there's no timetable or anything, just however it goes out.
Timetable's to get the right guy.
When you rush it, you may not get the right person. You take your time and you make sure you get the right guy.
Oh, well.
There it is, right there. But So first off, the things that they said, you feel good about. They're taking their time. It's not like they just lost it over one of these second interviews right now. They're taking their time, and they said they want it. They seem like they are serious about wanting to get the right guy.
Yeah.
Wanting to get the right guy. And I don't know if you, as a Texans fan, you can honestly feel like that was always the case, especially the last 2 years.
Oh, shoot. When you look back at it and the process, they were doing guys that had no business being a head coach favors and giving them interviews, asking other teams to interview them just so they didn't look so bad. It was an absolute joke. And we've talked at length about two straight head coach searches have been an absolute joke. I don't care what the problems were and how bad it was in-house. The search, the public aspect of their head coach search was an absolute joke. And so when you fast forward to what's going on right now, it's absolutely beautiful. And that cut of audio right there, when Landry posted it last night, I immediately listened to it. And what stuck out was Cal McNair's response to what's the timeline. The timeline is finding the right guy.
Yeah.
The timeline is getting this thing right. I think that's the best comment that Cal McNair's made about the coaching search. The entire time that quick 3-4 seconds right there of the timeline is getting this thing right. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not. You know, it's getting it right. Whereas you can even look at the way Nick Caserio got here, right? There wasn't nothing thorough about there was there like there wasn't nothing taking your time and getting the right guy. And it was a spur of the moment flight up there to pick him up and bring him home.
Yeah,
which I understand. That's fine. Cal acknowledged why he did that. That's fine. But I just greatly appreciate the way that this head coach search is going. And I really like the way that Cal McNair and Hannah McNair have no problem at all saying, yeah, we're involved. We're in every meeting. It's going good. We don't have a timeline. It's about getting this thing right. It'd be very easy. In fact, I'll be honest with you. I expected Cal McNair to say, well, you know, Nick's gonna figure this thing out. That's a question for Nick, or you know, Nick's really working hard and meeting with. But he's not. It would be very easy to defer or deflect to the general manager, and I would think that would probably be what Cal would default to. But it's going great. We're in every meeting. In fact, Hannah's doubling down, going, hey, it's a privilege for me to be in there alongside of him, checking all this out. So. I love the way they're handling it. I love the way it's being. I love the narrative publicly, I guess, and the messaging publicly. And I love the look from ownership.
No, I mean, like you said, they're not passing it, and I think
not
that's
passing the buck. No,
that's
sir.
The number one thing I think people have wanted to hear from the owners. Right? Is, man, this is your team.
Yeah.
It feels like, nah, man, like. You guys are the owner, and it says it, but really Bill's running the team. Or you guys are the owners, and it says that, but really Jack's running the team. You guys are the owners, it says it, but really Jack and Nick and whoever else is running the team. They are clear. They're becoming the face. That's who we hear talking. That's who we hear. They're becoming the face. We even seen Nick last night. They're becoming the face.
That's a good point.
know what I'm saying? Like,
why wouldn't Nick come hang out?
That last night looks like a Nick gig. Do you? That looks like a Nick thing.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
It should be.
But you're right. It ain't a Cal thing, but he's out there.
You think Cal didn't look real comfortable?
With this Texans tie. I like that thing.
You see that figgy pick where he's throwing the H?
Courtney said, look at Cal with his cute tie on.
Oh, shit.
I love my wife. Boy, she's great. All right. Coming up, listen, we talked about the Texans. I feel like somebody else in Houston tried to be hard, tried to be the tough guy, but it's too late, way too late. We'll discuss that coming up next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
The Drive is back in. See, the trailer, wheel, and frame and text line is really filling itself today, making people feel out here. That's fine. We had a lot of fun today. Shout out, Warren Moon joined us if you missed him. Earlier that was on. He was on with us at 3:40. You can check the Odyssey app and listen to that. Rockets, they were ready to start a streak here. Maybe get two in a row here. They weren't able to do that. They had a 19-point lead last night against the Washington Wizards, and they had a collapse there in the second half. And,
that's terrible.
I'm going to tell you what. Thanks, Chuck. I'm going to tell you what. Steven Silas wasn't playing, baby. Steven Silas is generally a nice... Now listen, I'm going to be honest with you. You can look at Steven Silas, you can tell, like, when he gets mad, his getting mad is not like, you know, Bobby Knight's getting mad. You know, he's got a more of a... I'm sure you all know somebody out there like that. But, like, you can't really tell if they're mad when they get mad because they seem like they talk right. In the same way that they do. But they just... When they're mad, sounds like, boy, I'm just really disappointed.
Right.
That's what Steven Silas is, sounds like. Yeah, I'd rather be with somebody who really gets mad. That's what I grew up with. Teresa, there's no disappointment.
No hiding it.
No, there wasn't. That was just she really expressed it. Getting confused it. But this is Steven Silas after the game talking about he used the word unacceptable. That was my favorite. He used unacceptable. This is as mad. I know Adam Spolane, who covers the Rockets there with him each and every day, said this is the most passion that he has heard and the most upset he's seen Steven Silas. This is him talking about last night.
I told him in the huddle it wasn't going to be easy. I told him if we want to take the game, we could take it. But I don't know if it was a factor of us playing so well that that we're taking it for granted. We're not a team that can do that. We're not a team that can take anything for granted. And it's just disappointing. It's actually unacceptable. Unacceptable play.
Unacceptable. Unacceptable play. That's the maddest I've ever heard, Steven Silas.
I hadn't heard a ton of Steven Silas, if I'm being completely honest, but what I have heard is it's pretty low key, pretty mellow. I would like to think that this is what the message that would have been, you know, from the jump with Steven Silas. But I'll tell you this, as a player, those are the kind of words that would have got to me. Like you can tell me how sorry I am, you can scream, you can yell. But I've always been a dude that when something I do is unacceptable and something I do is
especially if you know it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And something, you know, if you disappoint somebody like a coach or hell, worst case scenario, a parent, That speaks to me more so than all the screaming and everything. So while I sit here and say, hey, Silas, I wish I'd heard that about a year ago.
See, that's my thing, yeah. What you're saying. This feels too little too late. Like, this is kind of the thing that we're talking about, and I don't think it's a coincidence that this comes from off the heels of John Wall coming in here talking about this Mickey Mouse organization, basically, and that this stuff that, right, this stuff that you think the young kids are getting away with, that's what John Wall said, you wouldn't get away with that other teams, and yeah. Now Stephen Silas is now putting his foot down. And now he's putting his foot down. But you putting your foot down, man, this is the third straight year. Y'all got the worst record in the game. Like, this should have been – I think who said that? Yeah, Sean Bajani last week said this to the point of you can hold people accountable still while, you know, understanding you're not going to do a lot of winning. Like, and that is a space of growth. And – it feels like they've been doing a lot of losing, a lot of tanking. And according to John Wall, hell, they've been tanking on purpose, yep. Doing a lot of losing, but also not holding people accountable either. And, man, this to me is like, oh, now you're going to catch us as we head into the All-Star break.
Boy, what a piss-poor way to go about things is spend any amount of time. As a coach, spend any amount of time not holding somebody accountable. And look, I don't know if what John Wall said was – 100% true. I don't know that it even if the message was communicated or articulated in the way that John Wall wanted it to be. I don't know, but to even have a player have the ability to make those kind of statements and obviously something was there. You know, obviously there was a problem. That's it's crazy to me to think. And I said this when you and I first talked about the whole tanking thing. Like I just don't get it. Like, I get how an organization can tank.
But, yeah.
I just don't get how a coach can coach and like, knowingly, even some of the stuff that John Wall said they told him specifically. Of, like, we want you to come off the bench. And he said, for who? For this team? What are you talking about? Like, how do you go about that? And then the whole reason you would do that is so you can work the young dudes, so you can get the young dudes right. But the whole time – you literally are just spinning your wheels. I mean, you're not even getting any better. You're not even using the time wisely. I don't get it. I love what he's saying now. No, I hope behind closed doors that's been his messaging for 2 years now.
But Clint, come on. Like, we could see the play. Like, they
sure.
If that's the messaging, they keep doing it over and over again, right? Like, what did you say? The last couple of years, every time you've tuned in, you've taken the time to tune in. Ooh. It looks like a bunch of individuals out there playing, doing their own thing. And that's my thing is this sounds like something that should have been talked about and spoken about early on in the tenure. Like, this isn't unacceptable. This can't be the first time that Stephen Silas has run into something with the Rockets is unacceptable. Cannot be. Can't be. And now, I'll be honest, it feels like, as you said, this is a response to what has been circling around and him being soft there. Like, that was immediately after the John Wall stuff came out that Stephen Silas is a puppet and all this immediate. And now we're seeing a different case. That's like the parent that comes out. Like, as a parent, me, I start out firm
with the kids.
I start out.
That's
firm.
What I need to do.
I start out firm because it's easier to come down from the firmness than to start off
soft and then try to go hard.
And then come out of nowhere. They don't take you serious.
Yeah.
Sit your ass down. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, and that's what Stephen Silas is doing. So, I mean, like you said, the words are cool now. But
yeah. Hey, speaking of kids, I got good news, Chief. No strep.
Oh, that's good.
No strep. Baby girl, last night I got pictures. We're at the Houston Sports Awards, and Mama sends me a couple of pictures of the baby, and there's apparently a rash. Thank you. That right there. Give Liv a hand. Give Liv a hand. There you go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I should ask you to hold the applause to the end of the spiel, but that's okay. I like it. Appreciate it. But she had a rash, and I thought, well, what the heck? We thought it was because she's kind of, you know, she's at that stage where you feed her different things to kind of, you know, see what she likes, but also figure out what she's allergic to. Anything. Well, mama gave her some some real milk instead of formula. So she thought that may be it. Well, then she got wind that that's what happens when the baby gets strep as well. I didn't know that. They get rashes like all over their stomach and back. And so she ran her up there to get a strep test, and we're clear, baby. We're negative.
There you go.
Now I don't know what the hell's going on with the rash, but we ain't got no strep.
Figure out the rash. Yeah, the strep, yeah, that can be a scary joint.
You got me a little worried, man. Pre-show, we was talking about it. And kids at a year old, things start happening.
Man, and that hand, foot, mouth, boy, I'm telling you. But for you, and it's probably going to come still when she starts to get around other kids. My kids, they was in daycare.
Yeah.
Probably 12, 18 weeks into that sucker.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Weeks?
My wife got, I think, 18 weeks maternity leave, 12 to 18 weeks. That's that, baby. We got to work. And we chose to.
Yeah.
We wanted them to be around other kids.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the plan.
I ain't real sure that I want mine to be around other kids too early.
I don't know
if I want to rush it, show.
Like, I've been around other kids. Like, we had offers from the – and listen, we could have saved money. We had offers from the parents, from our parents, their grandparents. I was like, kind of want to – I want to get them in there, be around other kids so they can understand. They can, and be around people that are that have been trained to work with toddlers and infants, not these made-up curriculum that I'm sure my parents are going to
put. I think she's going to start up in August.
Oh, that's going to be good luck.
She thinks she'll start up in August. About 18 months.
I'm thinking about you, Lo. That's going to be a hard one.
Why is that? I'm worried about her bringing home sickness. That's all I'm worried about.
Just that first drop off.
Oh, I got to drop off, man. We PM radio guys, man. I got to drop off. Yeah. Mama got to pick up.
Okay. I bet she'll be there the first time you drop her.
I'm sure she will. She can't let the reins loose.
All three of them. I looked at Cordy. I said, he's going to third grade. Like, this isn't your first rodeo here.
Right, right.
Shut up. It's a new school. Hit me in the arm. Like, come on. I never lost it. It's never lost it. By the way, this reminded me of Tyler, because he is the only person I know that DoorDash is McDonald's. You see this last night? And at Loyola, you think this was real? That Loyola Chicago Duquesne game?
I didn't think about it till Lopez brought it up earlier, but there's no way it was real.
How could he get in the stadium?
Exactly.
Yeah, they had to be some sort of. And who was behind? Let's do this in the middle of the game. 16 minutes left in the second half, in the middle of the Duquesne Loyola Chicago, a guy. Looked like he was with DoorDash, is walking onto the court to the official with his DoorDash from McDonald's.
With a McDonald's bag.
Like, he's got
some young intern, man, for DoorDash. They had an idea, and they went for it. Maybe. I'm guessing. I don't know this.
That's a conspiracy theory. Yeah. That would be great.
Like I said, Tyler's the only person I know that. When's the last time you DoorDashed McDonald's? He's the only person I know.
Lopez and Landry brought this up. And Lopez, he voiced his displeasure with people DoorDashing, especially McDonald's. I freaking DoorDashed McDonald's last night, dude. Last night after the Houston Sports Awards.
You're lying.
You're not
making this up for the story.
I mean, you drove by 44 McDonald's.
I wasn't
on the way
hungry
home.
Then. I wasn't hungry then. This was a couple hours after I got home.
Oh, you're being dead serious.
I'm being dead serious.
I was gonna say the last time he did it was that time when he broke his ribs.
That was a night of McDonald's, yeah. But last night was a little more chill than that.
Oh,
but I'm
Tyler.
Disgusting with myself too, man. I get.
Hold on. No. Clint, you're right. You drove by, but you weren't hungry then. What time did you order it?
Let me look. If I had to guess, I ordered it sometime in the early morning hours.
I mean, what'd you do last night, bro?
I got home at a decent hour.
What
just
time
watched
did you all?
Netflix.
Y'all left at a good time.
I was home by 10:30.
So that means you left.
I left 9:45.
Yeah.
I got home. I got home at a good hour, and I got on the couch and watched some Netflix, man.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you got home at a decent hour and watched a lot of Netflix.
Yeah. I tend to get sucked in that way, but yeah.
What do you think at DoorDash? What do you because I know when I
Come
order
on,
when I order Chipotle every now and then, and the only time I ever do it is if I'm like at a game up here and I'm watching the game before doing a post game show, so I can't leave, and I didn't have time. I left too late to stop and get something, and so I'm sitting up here going, man, I'm not going to eat for another 6 hours. I have DoorDashed Chipotle a couple of times for that. That's really all of, I think that maybe the extent of my entire.
Yeah, what time was it?
I placed my order at 11:18.
Yeah.
11:18 p.m. last night is when I ordered that Mickey
D's. You DoorDashed Mickey D's at 11:18.
Yes, sir.
Why is that your go-to? Is there not other options?
No, there's a few, but at that time.
You seriously don't have a conversation? It was 11:18. You should have been in bed.
Oh, come on. In bed.
Now we got to start being realistic. Yeah, you could have gone BK.
I went BK a couple of nights ago.
Oh, you DoorDashed?
Yeah, I've DoorDashed twice this week.
DoorDashing. Yeah. See, this is what happens. You don't eat anything all day long, and then you start eating bad.
Yeah. It doesn't help that.
That's going to catch up with you. You're going to be a funny shape 40-year-old.
Nah, man. I ain't going to let that happen.
You're going to have a little bitty old butt cheeks and a big old belly.
That would be how it would look.
And a big ass head.
Big old head. Big neck. No neck. His head just turns into shoulders.
Oh, my God. Dude, stop, man. Because we're going to hang out tonight. You're going to do it again.
No.
I'd rather you'd have got in your car and gone to Denny's.
No, here's the deal. DoorDash, the only good thing about DoorDash is when you're inebriated and you can't drive. That's the only excuse.
He wasn't, though.
I wasn't drunk.
Well, you don't. Here's the deal. What does it cost you, do you think? Because I know my point in talking bringing up Chipotle, it doubles Chipotle.
Yesterday, I spent 30.
Maybe even more.
Oh, God.
You spent what?
I spent 30.
At McDonald's?
30?
Yeah, at 11:15. No, right, I know. Gonna, they get you with those delivery fees.
We got people out here struggling, having to work 7 days a week just to pay the bills, and you're out here spending $30 at 11:15.
The hell with that. I want to know what he ordered. At some point in this show, we got to go to break. But I got to know what the hell this fool ordered to total himself up to $30. It wasn't that many damn.
Bro, it doubles it, man.
So 15?
I bet it was 10. Fees and delivery.
Okay, well, now we're sitting at still 10.
No, the fees and delivery are insane.
That's $20.
Check your receipts. Let's figure that out.
You didn't even eat it all. All right, coming up, I did not.
Always over order.
God, you hungry son of a. The Astros got their new man. We'll tell you who their new general manager is coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.